to the newest episode of Not Enough Wrestling. Tonight we got the supervisor, we got the Phoenix joining the All-Star Jones. We are the faction of satisfaction, and tonight we are going to give you our thoughts on these past week's episodes. First starting off with AEW Full Gear. I thought it was a solid pay-per-view. The only matches that really stood out to me was the Young Bucks versus FTR and Kenny Omega getting a title shot to go against John Moxley, because John Moxley retained his title in the I Quit match against Eddie Kingston. So that was that. Oh, I know Cody lost the belt, the TNT title to Darby Allin. So with that being said, and, you know, I thought it was a solid pay-per-view. Nothing that really like was over the top for me. It was okay for the most part. Did anybody else get to check it out?
I watched some of it. I just don't know the people's names yet. I'm still working on
Okay.
that. But the first match, the first title match, with the big guy, big muscle guy, I don't know his name. That was a good match. Whoever his competitor was, he actually gave him a run for his belt. So I actually kind of like that. And then I caught a glimpse of his name was just in my head. Dean Ambrose. I see he got the belt, so I'm looking forward to
Oh,
seeing him
retain, yeah,
again.
he retained his championship.
Yes. But other than that, it seemed like an overall good show. Looking forward to catching more of the AEW in the future.
Okay. So then we have going into Raw. The things I liked about Raw for the most part was the Randy Orton spot and the match of the night. Raw was of that show. The match of the show was Mustafa Ali and Ricochet. Like they killed
Yeah.
the main. They killed the show.
Another example of
I
if they've given time, they're going to give you a match worth watching, whether it be on Raw or pay-per-view. Those two just need to be given more time. Those two need to be given the time to tell a story and show what they got, because my
Yeah.
God, it's amazing when they're winning the match together.
Yeah. I'm with you on that one.
Yo, that spike pile driver he did, that Hurricane Rana pile driver he did, bro. Oh
Oh.
my God.
I was like, he's not getting up. Oh my
No.
God, he got
That looked like he died. I mean, I could have sworn he died
right.
on that one.
That jump was so nasty, bro. But like, I mean, I like Mustafa Ali. I mean, I've liked him for a while, and like, I mean, he's trying his best to build this Retribution group, bro. But I don't know if he's gonna be. I don't know if he's. I don't want to say he's not big enough to build this group, but I don't know if they're just doing the right things with the man. Like, I know we already talked about it, bro, but like, God, dude, like, I'm feeling for this guy. I'm feeling for everybody that's a part of Retribution, because like, they're probably thinking, man, dude, we are killing this guy's career, and there's nothing we can do about it.
Right.
I mean, I was hoping that there was going to be something done with him when they were teasing the hacker angle on
Yeah.
SmackDown for a while. You know, it was very obvious that, you know, that was going to be Mustafa Ali with the symbol they would show at the end of all those vignettes. And then, you know, typical WWE fashion, let's just move him Raw and forget all that stuff ever even happened. So I'm glad that they tied that back into the whole Retribution storyline. And
I thought they were going to expose a lot more because there was so many things that happened between then and now, that, could have used that angle, but I guess they decided not to.
you're right. There's no reason for them to kill that angle, because they kind of left it up to kind of say that he can still do that with Retribution. And I don't see why they haven't gone that route yet. Start exposing secrets, start exposing the dirty underbelly of what they're trying to say is happening. I think we'll get a more compelling group here that is trying to actually show all the bad side of what WWE's had to hide, but they're not even
Right.
going that route.
His whole point is to give people who don't have opportunities opportunities. So why not expose a lot more than just petty beefs between other superstars? Like, there's so much more to expose and to build this group into something way more than what it is. Because right now it's just a joke.
Yeah, very much so. It has potential. They still have potential. Everybody in that group, you know, on their own would be phenomenal. I don't even know why we're trying to hide them. But
Right. If they wanted to send Mia Yim to SmackDown or Raw, they could have just sent Mia Yim to SmackDown or Raw. She didn't have to go in this group.
right. But I mean, at that point, if we're gonna put them in a group, use their names, use that star power, make them seem bigger than they actually are. Why hide
Right.
the fact that these people have been disenfranchised? Why hide the fact that they have the talent? Why hide the fact that they should be building their names bigger and bigger each time they show up in front of a camera?
That and the only two ones that you really see in one-on-one competitions is Mustafa Ali and Slapjack. You don't even see Mia Yim in any fights. You don't even see them really messing with none of the females. So what is, why is she even there? Why is she the only female in the group? The tall dude with the dreads, you don't see him in any fights. He's just there making weird faces. So I don't really get their angle, but I hope they work out something good with that group because it started off good. So let's hope they do something with it.
Well, I mean, like, I don't know. I'm just kind of leaving it in the air right now where it goes. I'm hoping like they just do a match where like they have to disband eventually, so that way that these guys can go their own direction and they can find their own path. That's really the only way to save the group. If you put them in a match where they're like 5-on-5 against another 5-on-5, and then they like whoever loses, if Retribution loses, they have to disband, and then that way they can go their separate ways, and then they can finally be themselves, and it'll be okay, and nobody will be hurt by it.
Right.
You
Time will.
know, it would just work out the best for everybody.
I have a idea that they might all turn on Mustafa Ali at some point to end up ending the whole group since they're making him like the creator and founder. So I don't know, but we'll see.
Okay, and then so like the last thing that happened on Raw was they got their five for the men's Raw team, which is a pretty stacked team for the most part. Like they have a solid, I think it's a solid balance of big and small. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a good balance.
When I compare the two teams, I have to give the edge to Raw.
That's going to be a dominating team if they can learn to work together just for one night, just one night. But has SmackDown even completed their team yet as far as the men's Raw team goes?
From last
I
I
don't think
saw
they
it,
did.
I think they have one spot left.
So I know they got Jey Uso, they got what's his name, Kevin Owens, and
Seth Rollins.
Seth
It's Seth
Rollins.
Rollins and
Right.
then King Corbin.
So they one more spot.
One more spot.
I mean,
And
they're
then
gonna have to go with somebody big, and they don't really have nobody big enough to stop three of the five men on that team. So I
that's true.
don't know what they're
Why?
gonna do, but
They're
good
gonna have
luck
to
to
pull somebody from the outside.
them. Right. When I seen
I
the
mean,
Completion
it's
Brawls group, I was just like, they're definitely gonna dominate that part of Survivor Series
yeah.
if they can get along.
All right, so let's get into NXT. So the very first match was Gargano losing his belt the week after he just won it from Damian Priest.
I laughed so hard. I'm not even gonna lie. The dude couldn't even wear the belt. It was so funny.
Was so
I was
clean.
dying. I really was.
So clean. The way he lost, the whole wheel thing, the Damian Priest just being there and not doing anything. It was clean. It was good. It made Johnny look like a goof. It made Damian seem like he had Johnny's number, that he's been living in that mind ever since he lost that title. And then at the end, the whole Johnny coming to the back, yelling, screaming, and just Damian Priest is telling him, "You're an idiot. You did this to yourself. Why don't you go watch Wheel of Fortune?"
I'm serious. I was dying laughing the whole time. It was very hilarious. Because he tried to make his first title reign something that he can keep the title, and he still ended up losing it. So it was just I loved it. It was hilarious. But I don't think this dude's gonna hold it very long. I think Damien's going to take it from him, I'm gonna be honest.
I think it's actually going to go another location. I think it's going to go in Pete Dunne's waist.
Nice. I like that theory right there.
I think it is. I mean, if you think about it, you think about that four-man group. Pat McAfee, he don't need anything. You know, he's the mouthpiece. He's just there to hype him up. You got the tag titles on Orny and Birch. Well, who's the only one without any sort of gold, without any sort of income, without anything on his waist? That's going to be Pete Dunne,
Right.
you know?
Or at this point right now, if you look at the four men, like he's also somebody who looks like he doesn't even need to be on the group.
That's true.
Like
That is
I
true.
do like when he kicked that door into what's the name's face though. It
That was
might not have been
brutal.
as graphic as what they tried to make it seem, but it was kind of cool. I was like,
Yeah.
oh, I wasn't expecting it, but it was cool.
You know, it's, NXT has got a lot of good stories going on right now. It's kind of hard to fault them.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the belt's gonna. I like the supervisor's prediction of Pete Dunne getting the belt, but I don't see Pete Dunne beat taking it from Ruff. I see him taking it from Damian Priest. I think it's gonna be a triple threat match because Damian still deserves his rematch. So does Gargano. So it'll possibly be a triple threat match. Damian will win it back, and then maybe Pete Dunne will go after him. At least it'd be somebody, it'd be competition that he take the belt from.
Right.
See, this is where you're not thinking about things the way WWE thinks about things. Leon Ruff, babyface. Damian
Yep.
Priest, babyface. Pete
Yep.
Dunne, heel. Pete Dunne takes the title off of Leon Ruff, heel. Leon Ruff is that transition champion. That's very clear. If he holds it for more than 2 weeks, I'd be surprised.
Well, I'm just saying though, I mean, at least Pete Dunne can take it from another babyface and it would actually be a match of competition. It would be worth watching.
No,
Right.
Dunn's gonna get that belt off of some cheap heat off of Ruff. It's gonna be Priest versus Dunn for that belt. I guarantee you. That way, it makes Priest look stronger going after somebody like a Pete Dunn who has a history. Everybody knows who he is. He's held that UK NXT Championship for over a year. You know, his legacy is already solidified in the NXT world. That's where the
Yeah.
money comes from. Leon Ruff, that's just getting it off of Gargano to get it to Dunn.
Yeah. I was actually highly excited when his music started playing and he started walking out with that extra tan that he got. I was like, oh my God, he's back. Yes,
Yep.
he's back. Like, I was so excited. I was like, who's next? Like, it was good to see him come back. I really do hope they put him up against somebody that will make an interesting match, not such of an easy match as far as with Ruff. But either way, I do feel like either him or Damien are destined to get the belt next. Gargano might still try to sneak and pry his way into it, but I just don't think that's something that he's gonna accomplish this time around with Pete Dunne being a factor in it.
Yep.
Well, all right. Well, I mean, that was really NXT was kind of blah this week. I didn't really see anything that was really like, interesting outside of Gargano winning the belt.
I do want to say Toni Storm is looking very good coming back. I do like Toni Storm. The couple matches she's been pretty good.
Yeah, I think this is probably her strongest match out of the ones that she's had since being back.
Yeah.
Even though she
It just.
lost, she looked very strong in this one. It was a lot cleaner. There was a lot more fluid. You can tell she's finally getting back into
Yeah.
her groove.
Most definitely. I hope they have some good things planned for her. Because, I mean, ever since the Mae Young Classic, she's been doing her thing. So I really hope they plan on promoting her very well this time.
Well, let's get into AEW. So the things I took away from the AEW show was the Inner Circle. They did the initiation for MJF. And I thought it was funny that MJF comes out there and he has a poem or a letter that he wrote, and he's like speaking lyrics from the Drake song. And then so they me and people were like, yo, for real, Drake? You quoting Drake? You're like, no, I wrote this myself. I thought that was hilarious. And then like,
I think MJF is probably one of the best characters on in wrestling right now.
that's a stretch, but I mean, I thought the skit was funny.
You never seen him cuss out a child, then you don't live. You haven't lived.
Well, I mean, if you want to get that type of heel cussing out a child, I mean, be my guest. That's on you. You know what I'm saying? But
that's old school heel, man. That's that old school heel.
You know, but we live in a, you know, PC era now. So, I mean, I don't know how long he could be able to continue to do that.
Enjoy it while you can.
Yeah. And then outside of that, the main event was Penta versus his brother Ray. And, yo, that match was crazy good, yo. I didn't really like that they started snatching each other's mask off from each other. Like, they were ripping their masks off each other. But Penta showed he could be more aggressive. Like, my man did that spike pile driver on the apron. And then he turns around and does, like, the Canadian Destroyer on the ground. Then he throws his brother back in the ring, and then he does that spike pile driver again to win the match. I'm like, God, you literally tried to kill your brother, bro.
And that's what it takes in showbiz.
Yep.
I mean, dang, that's your brother's son, like your younger brother. Like, you had to take it that far. Like, what? He must have did something real messed up in your childhood to go that far to like put the power drive to do it on the apron, then do a Canadian Destroyer, then you spike him again in the ring to win. Like, it was over after the power driver, the Canadian power driver. Like, you should have just went in and pinned him.
It's not a good month for a family. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, no, definitely not. But he was making a statement. Now, from what you said, it was made.
Yep. Whether and it's cousins or brothers, it's not a.
Say it again.
So whether it's cousins or brothers, it's not a good time for family.
Hmm.
Nope.
And then Pac shows up at the end, and that's how they end the show. They announced a pretty good set of matches for next week. It's going to be interesting. Now, the only thing that I can say I disliked about the AEW show was like the Cody Rhodes spot when he comes in and he cuts his promo and he's like, "I'm not going to go after the TNT title right now." And then this chick shows up out of nowhere. This buff chick, and she like pretty much just like rides Cody, you know, what's the word? What's jock? Pretty much, there you go. He rides this dude's jock the whole time. I'm like, yo, get to the point of this whole promo. Why are you out here?
Right. And then his wife comes out, a girlfriend, and cusses her out. And I was really looking at the phone the whole time, just confused, like, what is going on?
Yeah, like, I was just like, what is this? Where is this going? And they was like, and the whole thing, they were like, oh, this has something to do with Shaq. I'm like, really? Shaquille O'Neal, this is where we're going right now?
What does that have to do with wrestling?
Well, supposedly he was at the pay-per-view, the Full Gear pay-per-view. But
gotcha.
Whatever that has to do with them promoting Shaq now, I don't know. But like, I would just have to say, this had to be one of the worst promos shown on TV. You know, and I don't really watch AEW like that. For me to come back and watch a show and they have a promo like this on TV, I'm like, bro, come on. That was awful.
It's probably like my third time watching AEW, and that, other than my children coming home, that's probably one of the other reasons why I didn't finish the second half.
All right, so now that we got that out of the way, topics. Zelina Vega has been released from the WWE. There's a lot of different things I've read regarding her statement about unionization or something to do with her Twitch account and her OnlyFans that she has going on. It's a lot of stuff going on. I don't know which one is which. It could be a combination of both.
Hey, if she got OnlyFans, then WWE ain't paying her enough.
Well, it's OnlyFans to promote her, like her cosplay. It's nothing sexual. Yeah, gotcha. It's nothing sexual or anything, like just promoting her cosplay, you know.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's all it is. But, like, you know, I don't know if it has something to do with that or, like I said, it's just a combination of both the things, you know. But
just WWE is just so petty. Like, you couldn't have a conversation with this person before you, like, let this person go. Like,
right.
Like, what was the conversation that you had? Like, yo, we can't have you speaking out of text like that. You know what I'm saying? We know we don't do unionization, so why would you go out and say something?
I think this is a bigger issue than just that. You know, she was just made an example of. That's all it was.
Yep.
But I think this is just starting to light the dynamite here. You know, they went after Twitches and cameos and other little outside projects for the wrestlers while, you know, they're not doing house shows and they're not getting that house show income coming in. You know, it's not a good look for WWE. And it's probably going to backfire on them in the long run.
Yeah. I mean, I figured that something like this was going to happen as far as them letting Selena go once they broke up her little group with Andrade and all them, because they really didn't have nothing really for her to do. I mean, granted, they tried to get her to go after the belt, but you're not going to beat Asuka. So I just felt like they just ran out of options for her. Like, we don't have nothing else for her to do. So I figured this was going to happen sooner or later, but not because of something that she said.
I mean, I would have never seen her let her go because her husband still works there. I mean, like, dang, if you let the husband go, then maybe the wife should go too. But, like, the husband still works there. He's trying to leave the main roster and go back to NXT. Like, he wants to go back and work with Triple H because, you know, he may not feel like they're using him properly on SmackDown, and he wants to be used. So he wants to be used properly.
Right. And I fit him on that. He's a great athlete, and for them to just, like, put him on the side burners like that, it just don't make no sense. Like, he's good. Put him in the ring. Like,
I won't be surprised if he's, like, the final person for Team SmackDown.
It would be smart of them. Yeah, I mean, if you can, like, run through the roster real quick in your mind, like, who else do you think would be good for that team other than him?
I wouldn't be surprised it'd be either him or Shorty G.
Or whatever. I don't see that.
Or whatever they decide to change his name to now.
He's gonna get crushed if he get on that team.
Huh?
I said Shorty G is good, but he's gonna get crushed if he get put on the Survivor Series team.
Yeah, but like everybody likes him. You know what I mean? Like, everybody likes him, and I feel like this would be his chance to shine. And, you know, he could shine out of this. Or at least have a good spot in the match where, like, okay, he has potential. Maybe if you use him properly, he can be something great. We all know that he has potential.
Right.
But it's trying to get the right
people. I mean, he could be the one to take AJ out. But
we're trying to get the right people to see that. But if I would just go with Aleister Black just so, hey, you want to be used, we'll put you on TV. Or if you're just trying to get away from Vince because you wanna give him a black mask and a black eye because of what he did to your wife, I get it. You want to go with Triple H away, as far away from Vince McMahon as you can possibly get. Because if right. You see him on the streets, it won't be a misunderstanding.
No, it's going to be on site.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But
yeah, you don't mess
I mean, putting Alistair back on the team.
Like, you don't mess with the dude's family, man. That's just...
Yeah.
Like I said, this is messy. This is going to be a bigger issue than we see right now. And, you know, this is just the beginning of what this is going to end up.
So, like, because I mean, like, you know, Xavier Woods has his own channel, you know, and, you know, Paige has her own channel and stuff like that. Now, I know that they don't promote anything that's WWE. Like, their channel is just promoting video games and stuff like that. So, and they've never had an issue with that before. But, like, and I don't think they have an issue with Xavier Woods, you know.
No, because I think Xavier made some sort of deal with them because they promoted Up, Up, Down, Down. They've promoted Up, Up, Down, Down in the past. They've done things with Up, Up, Down, Down. Mm-hmm. So I think they have some sort of deal with Xavier. I think it's everybody else who started Twitch or you know, OnlyFans or Discord that they're having issues with. I just looking right now just saw that Zelina Vega made more off of Twitch than she did from WWE.
But I mean,
I guess so.
If it wasn't for WWE, she wouldn't have probably made that kind of money because she would just be a person on Twitch like everybody else.
Yeah. True.
You know, if like maybe she, I don't know, maybe she should have just been like, okay, well, I'll cut you in on the deal like you did with whatever you did with Xavier Woods. Let me get that same deal.
You know, but maybe that's the reason why they cut her, because she went and did it on her own without consulting them, without having them, you know, partner with her so they can get a cut out of it. Like I said before, they cut restaurants from being able to air the WWE Network just because they weren't getting a share of the profits. Like, they're greedy. They want money for everything. If you work for them and you're doing things on the side, they want money from that.
Yeah, that's crazy, because, you know, I mean, AJ is, like at the same time, the difference between AJ and Zelina, because AJ had his own Twitch account. I don't know if he still has it up, but he has his. Now, you know, he is one of their top talents, and Zelina, like you said earlier, is not. So right. It's like a slap on the wrist for AJ, but you get cut if you're Zelina. And that's, you know, that's kind of unfair. Mm-hmm. You know, but I can see their mentality as well. AJ is a top talent. She's not. We can scratch her up. But AJ, we just slap on the wrist. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Paige, on the other hand.
Yeah.
But they've been doing that. Huh? They've been doing that for years with different talents and different issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You know how many times Randy Orton probably should have been fired for violating the wellness policy?
For real. Well, you can't do that. But he's a big name that everybody wants to see. So mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah, so just enough of the double standards for WWE. You got to be, you know, straight across the board. You know what I'm saying? Like, they just need to have a meeting. Like, yo, if you're gonna do this type of thing, we need to know what you guys are gonna do on the side, because you still work for us technically. You know, you still work for us. You know, and you know, you just gotta make. I guess you just gotta make a deal with WWE. Hey, bro, like, I want to do this. Okay. How can we make money off it?
Which, like, I know somebody, there's a publicist somewhere.
You know, which sucks, because they're looking at it and their future, you know, outside of WWE, because WWE is not going to be there forever.
Right.
You know, so when
that's all that, yeah, I mean, that's all they're really looking for is, you know, safety net.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Now, last thing before we get up out of here. We have the Survivor Series coming up, because we probably won't be back, because the Survivor Series is next week. So we probably won't have a show until after that. So real quick, I just want to get you guys' thoughts on the matches that are promoted for the show. So I'm going to start with the big one first. We got Randy Orton going against Roman Reigns, champion versus champion.
Now,
who you got?
Actually, we don't know if that's going to be set in stone yet, because Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton are fighting for the belt tomorrow. So if Drew McIntyre wins, it'll be Drew McIntyre versus Roman Reigns.
That's true. And you know, they've changed at least one title before each Survivor Series in the past 3 years.
Okay, yeah. All right, fine. Let's just do it this way. This is okay. Let's go with if it's Randy and Reigns, who you got?
The way they're promoting Reigns, I'm going to have to go with Reigns. Randy's good. I ain't saying he's not, but the way that they're promoting him right now, I just feel like they're just going to give him the win.
I feel the same. Reigns has got to look dominant. He's got to be dominant against Randy. Randy will be his, you know, snake-like self, but I think Roman would end up just dominating him.
Yep.
Okay, now, if we had to do McIntyre versus Reigns, who you got?
I'm just going to say I would be really excited to see that match. I don't even know. And back of my mind, I'm going to be going for both of them. I'm just.
I'm going to have to say the same. That one's going to be a toss-up, but I know that one would just be hard hitting.
Yeah.
Two gigantic men just hitting the hell out of each other.
Yeah. Seeing them in the ring face-to-face with each other. It was just really tantalizing to be like, yeah, that's the match I want to see.
I would love to see a spear into a claymore, though.
Yes.
That sounds like a car collision, boy.
Yes.
If I had to pick, I'm going to go with Reigns against Reigns defeating Orton. I'm going to go with Reigns beating both of them. Now, Reigns winning against McIntyre cleanly, I don't see.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. But Reigns beating Orton cleanly, yes, I can see.
Yeah.
So,
and I guess, you know, you could always say his cousin could be a factor in that match.
If he does what he's told, not what he wants.
Exactly.
All right, so we got the women's champion Asuka going against the SmackDown champion Sasha Banks. I don't know why I put that in.
Sasha. I'm Asuka all day.
Soup.
I'm gonna say Asuka. I think Bayley's gonna interfere in that one.
Yeah, you already know she is. Anything to mess up Sasha's title reign, even though it's not for the title, but anything to hinder anything she has going on, get into her head so the next time they fight, she could win. Bayley's definitely going to do that.
Yep.
I got Sasha winning cleanly because the last time they fought, Asuka was Sasha was the heel. So I can see Sasha winning as a face to give her a bigger push. I mean, because Asuka's already like at the peak where she is, so her taking this L would not hurt her status.
No, it wouldn't. I mean, but if Bayley becomes a factor, it depends on how she does it, because you already know how it goes. It depends on who they hit. That depends on who wins the match. So if she hit Asuka, Sasha wins. If she hits Sasha, Asuka wins. So that's just the toss-up that I'm at. I'm stuck in. I'd rather see Asuka win, especially with all the beef that they've had between Sasha and Bayley for the last Lord knows how long. I would definitely finally like to see Asuka win a clean match against Sasha.
All right, so then now we got, you know, Bobby Lashley going to get Sami Zayn. I think, does Sami Zayn have a title match or did he already have it?
He had it against what's his name? The dude that Lashley took the belt from.
Excuse me? Lashley took the belt from
Apollo Crews. There you go, Apollo Crews. But he tied him up into the ring and won by count out, so
I forgot he went to SmackDown.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had that match and he retained, so it'll be him versus Lashley, and I'm really praying Lashley just run the ring with him.
Yo, you have something against Sami Zayn, man. You got something against the man. Like, geez Louie.
He whine and complain too much. First you complain that you're not getting no matches. They give you a match. You complain they gave you a match. Like, just fight. Shut up. Just fight.
Well, I got Zayn winning dirty. He's gonna find somebody to cheat and win this match.
It's weird that as a face, this like right now there's two heel versus heel matches and there's a face versus face match. It's weird that none of these dynamics have switched up.
Well, I mean, I
don't know.
Go ahead.
I don't know how Zayn wins this with the Hurt Business in Lashley's corner.
Yeah, if they're going to be out there, then it don't matter what Zayn does unless he can take all of them out. Whatever little cheating tactics he got ain't going to work.
It's just going to be MVP. It's just going to be MVP out there because the other ones are going to be in that they have a tag team match on Monday.
Yeah.
They have a tag team title match.
So if they win, they'll be the ones going against the Street Profits.
Well, because they got to go against the Hurt Business, got to go against the New Day. And if the New Day loses, then it'd be the Hurt Business going against the Street Profits.
Street Profits, right. So if that happens, then yeah, they probably won't be out there because they have a match of their own coming up. But if the New Day somehow retains, then they'll have nothing to do for Survivor Series, so they'll most likely be out there.
Well, I think Sami Zayn will find a will. He'll find a way. That's what I got.
Okay.
Now, say, for example, the New Day retains. Who you got going against the Street Profits?
It's going to be hard for me. I like both teams and they're both good. It'll just be a who can outlast who type of match for me.
Sue?
I'm going to have to go with New Day. It's your boys.
Deal. New Day. I'm going Street Profits.
I wonder if Big E going to come out for Survivor Series. Since it's brand for brand, he could be there. You know what I'm saying? So I wonder if he's going to come out and support. But I honestly think it is going to be a really, really good match. I think the only weak link in that situation might be Dawkins because he get tired fast. He start breathing heavy and he got to get out. But at the same time, I really think it's just going to be a really good match and it's going to be really entertaining.
Yeah, that's just her way. She's not picking that. That's fine. We'll take that. We'll take that you won't pick. That's okay. That's okay.
I'm not gonna pick on this one because I like them both. I don't know. It's kind of like in the back of my mind, I'm rooting for both of them, but at the same time, I know only one can win. So,
all right. Well, we got the women's tag team match now. SmackDown is missing two people still, which they're probably going to decide who they're going to be on Friday coming up before the pay-per-view. What do you think is going to be the last two people they have to pick up?
For what, the women's team?
For SmackDown's women's team. Because so far they have Belair, Ruby Riot, and Liv Morgan.
I don't know, because what's the name? Keep trying. She's been at every qualifying match possible.
Who that? Come on, Natalya?
And she keep losing. Yes. She just so mad. But to be honest, as far as like the SmackDown roster goes, there's not really too many other people that you can get to put on that team. I mean, they would be smart to put Bayley on the team because she's had a good track record, but she's going to be too caught up in Sasha and she might not be able to focus. Carmella's back. You might want to put her on the team, but now she's focused on Sasha. So who knows how that's going to work? Everybody else that is like a main person on that roster, female-wise, is already on the team.
Yeah. I mean, they tried to introduce Chelsea Green this week, and she broke her wrist. She was the one who was actually supposed to win that match and not Liv Morgan.
Mm. Interesting.
It's hard to tell because SmackDown doesn't have, like, this is not a roster there.
Yeah. They, you know, if they surprise us with grabbing somebody else from NXT, that'll probably be the, you know what I'm saying, the kicker on that. But other than that, they just don't have a real good women's roster on SmackDown. So it's like, in Survivor Series in general, like, I'm really going for the Raw's women's team because they're really dominating everything right now.
But yeah, they're in the same boat as the men. They can't get along. They keep putting Lana through a table. And we don't know if what's her name? Mandy Rose is hurt because she hurt her shoulder after that spot she had with Nia Jax.
Right. I mean, was it 8-9 times Lana's been put through a table?
Yeah.
Something like that, but it's also like 8-9 times Nia Jax has hurt somebody.
Yeah. But every time she hurts somebody, they do end up finding her. She ends up paying a large fine or she gets time off, but because she's on the Survivor Series team and the tag team's women's champion, obviously they're not going to, you know, make her take a leave of absence at this moment, but she does always get fined and vacate for a while. So maybe we'll see after Survivor Series.
Yeah, I don't know. They need to do something about her because every time she hurts somebody, it's usually somebody that they're trying to build.
Mm-hmm. And like, I mean, when I saw the injury, I don't know if it just Mandy Rose got caught in the ropes or was it, I couldn't tell if it was on Nia or maybe she just Mandy just got caught in the ropes. I mean, I really couldn't tell. I don't want to put it on Nia Jax because, you know, bumps do happen. Like, it looked almost, it was almost as bad as
Enzo when he got ran into the when he ran into the ropes and got concussed. You know what I'm saying? It just sometimes you just you're going so fast and you just don't catch yourself, and you know you just get into a bad spot. So I don't want to say that was completely on her, but yeah. I mean at the same time, you know, we do know Nia's track record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, at the end of the day, it probably wasn't like on purpose, but at the end of the day, it's not like Nia cared. Like, she's just going to keep it going.
Now, how do you feel if the Bella twins were the last two spots?
Ain't they still pregnant?
Oh, I don't know about that. I'm just asking.
I don't think that would be beneficial. I really don't. I think that's just gonna solidify their L.
I would not want to see the Bellas. I was never a fan of the Bellas. I don't think we need to see the Bellas back in any shape or form.
I just don't think it's a good idea to take two people who's been out for all this time and then all of a sudden throw them in and onto the Survivor Series team. Like, that's going to help anybody win anything. Like, it's not.
No, okay.
Right.
Doesn't SmackDown have one of the Iconics on their on the show?
Yeah, the one with the black hair.
Billie Kay.
Yeah, that high-pitched annoying voice. Maybe
she might make another – she might make it. And then they could pick up Tamina if she's still on SmackDown.
She is. She was actually in a qualifying match just this Friday with the one
Liv Morgan one.
Well, they could put her in another one. They could put her in another one because they did the same thing for Matt Riddle. Matt Riddle was out technically, and then they just had him like have a like another match to get back in it. So
yeah, and they've been putting Natalya in every single qualifying match.
So possible. She could probably pick up another spot too. So it'd probably be the last two would probably be Tamina and Natalya. If not the one chick from the Iconics.
I would say that'd be their only option.
But in the end,
then you kind of know which team is gonna win at that point.
No, I can see I can still see Team SmackDown win. I can still see Team SmackDown, and I see Team SmackDown win because of Bel Air. Bel Air would be the sole survivor for Team SmackDown. She would win it all for that group.
Yeah. You're right about that. I'm with you on that one. But I'm going to be honest, they're going to have to take out Nia and Shayna first.
Yeah, everybody else is kind of like, you know, the wink links. They're like,
yeah.
I could probably see Lana. It'll probably come down to Lana and Bel Air being the last two people.
And if that's the case, then you already know who's going to walk away with that win.
Now, you know Vince is trying to build Lana. So he could possibly give that dub to Lana, too.
Man, y'all been having Bianca Belair in all these commercials and track things and all this stuff. Y'all building her, too. So y'all going to take two people y'all building and take the strongest one and let her lose?
That's WWE for you.
Lana been losing all week. That's WWE for you.
The things that they should do, they don't do.
They don't.
So I would not be surprised to come down to Lana and Bel Air and Lana wins. But at the same time, I'm rooting for Bel Air, but I could see Lana win.
Whew, I'm going to just say, if I don't even know. I can't wait to see it. That's what I'm going to say.
Now, we got the men's tag team match. Like I said, we already said earlier, Raw's missing one person. It more likely would probably be Aleister Black. It would more likely be Aleister Black, who since he's on SmackDown, but there's no guarantee yet who it's gonna be. So I'm just gonna go with Team Raw winning in general, just because.
What show is the the freak on
Lars
Sullivan, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's on SmackDown.
It could
too.
It could be he Lars. Could be that.
That'd be their best bet. That would be their best bet to put somebody his size on that team because you have three people equal to his size on the other team. You gotta have at least one person to be able to take out some of them big dudes, because nobody on the SmackDown roster, to in my opinion, would physically be able to take out Braun Strowman or Keith Lee with just their simple everyday takedown moves. Kevin Owens is good, yeah, but at the same time, they still overpower him a lot more than what Lars Sullivan would do. You know what I'm saying? It'd be more equal with Lars Sullivan.
Yeah, but Lars can only hold his own for so long. I mean, King Corbin is not as big. And when I say big, I'm not talking about tall. I'm talking about him size-wise. He can only – I think he would be able to only go against Sheamus.
Exactly.
He's not big enough to take on Braun and Keith Lee. So
right.
And
since he already has beef with Riddle, it's 9 times out of 10 going to be something where, you know, they end up beefing in the ring because of their old beef. But at the same time, like we said, there's nobody size-wise that's going to take out Strowman or Lee on the SmackDown team.
All right, so we're just going to go with Lars. As of right now, we're going to go with Lars as being their final pick.
Works. That makes sense.
Okay. Well, that was our show for tonight. We want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank the supervisor and the Phoenix for coming on and being a part of the show. We hope you enjoy the show. You listen to the next episode, giving our thoughts on Survivor Series pay-per-view. We hope that you enjoy the rest of the week. Subscribe to our shows. You can find us on Twitter and on Instagram. Once again, we are the Faction of Satisfaction. And you guys have a blessed day and be safe.